You could be forgiven if you felt a little lost uptown this week on 82nd and 5th Avenue. Inside the Metropolitan Museum of Art on the second floor, not far from the Rembrandts and the Vermeers, behind brick walls spray-painted black.
Who are you? Oh, it's
so good to see you. The 1970s punk world is reborn as a museum happening. Stuffed like a moose head over a fireplace and staring out at hundreds of gawking visitors is the newest Met exhibit, Punk from Chaos to Couture, on hand to see the deliberately ugly and torn, loud and obscene artifacts from the days of punk. The beautiful people, of course. All of them.
Well, I'm here with Anna Wintour.
Rooney Mara and Ricardo Tisci.
Here comes Debbie Harry.
I'm here with Kerry Washington.
Grace Coddington.
With Elle and Dakota Fanning.
I'm here with Cy.
David Byrne and Sally Singer.
I've got Miley Cyrus with me here tonight.
Katie Holmes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Now, what part of cellular DNA Miley Cyrus was back in the days of the Sex Pistols, the Ramones, and Johnny Rotten, I'm sure I don't know. But the Met was all Hollywooded up for an event that celebrated fashion as much as punk.
You look gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
Who makes your dress?
Marc Jacobs.
Rodarte.
This is Richard Shai.
Chanel.
Calvin Klein.
And Versace shoes.
Lanvin.
Very nice.
Oh, hey, there's Mr. Bolton, not Michael, the handsome pop singer. Andrew, the sharply dressed museum curator.
Rather than looking at punk as an attitude, it looks at punk as an aesthetic. No other countercultural movement has had a greater or more enduring influence on high fashion.
We just have to keep this path clear so people can move forward. If you want to proceed, that might be a...
At the red carpet gala and the press opening for this exhibition, there were luminaries and Euroglam reporters, columnists from the fashion world decked out at noon on a Monday and eager to set the intellectual bar very high.
If you look at Elizabethan clothes where they do slashing and cutting, we've just taken a different form of decoration of what it would do.
So a little different than hanging out with the Vermeers, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes, a lot different.
Do you prefer it?
Yes, I enjoy it.
The museum guards were having fun anyway. What you did not find much of here at this very provocative event was a lot of punks. No, this was more a miniature poodle crowd.
And do you have a favorite punk song?
A favorite punk song?
Most punk thing I ever did was sneak out of my window to watch a movie.
I don't know.
I was caught, of course, and was grounded. Not very punk at all.
God, it's kind of hard on the spot. Is Goo Goo Dolls considered punk?
Goo Goo Dolls punk? Don't answer that question. But you can check out a slideshow of my visit to the Metropolitan Museum online at thetakeaway.org. Joining us now, fashion writer Kelly Maxwell from Bust Magazine. Welcome.
Hi.
So this is a stretch for the Met, and you would expect the poodle crowd to show up at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, right?
Very true.
But there is an interesting issue here of fashion. As I was looking at some of the artifacts in the exhibit, you know, back in the 70s, you didn't mess with your clothes. I mean, you maybe did by accident. In the punk aesthetic, you really tore things up, you ripped things, and today that's a completely mainstream kind of make-your-own-brand aesthetic in fashion.
You buy jeans that are pre-shredded for your convenience.
And all of that, you think, comes from the punk aesthetic to do it yourself?
I do think so. The hip and happening are always, you know, on the cutting edge, and if you can sell that, by all means, it's going to be more popular.
How do fashion houses go about mining these sorts of pop cultural phenomena and figure out that you can actually make money doing this?
I like that you called it mining. It is a very conscious process, I would say. Whatever the kids are doing today, you're probably going to see on the stores tomorrow. You know, you see the flower children of the 60s, and then you see bell bottoms being mass produced, and then all of a sudden it's not cool anymore. So it is a cycle where you're always getting a new product, so there's always going to be something new to sell. The trend makes money happen. Just being on top of every trend, you have to keep buying things and keep designing new things.
And indeed, at this exhibit, you see artifacts from the 1970s and 80s juxtaposed with, fashion statements made in 2013 by designer houses, presumably that will become products of one kind or another, rolled out at a museum.
Exactly.
It's a kind of a perfect storm in some ways.
Definitely.
What do you think about the idea that, you know, okay, punk must be as dead as the mummies at the Met because showing up at a museum is certainly a sign that it's over?
Exactly. And, you know, the claims that authenticity that they're making at the Met makes it sound like they're talking about, you know, fine art as opposed to this cultural phenomenon that is still alive and well in some parts of the country and across the world.
And do you think it is art, or is it an arty kind of process that they're looking at here?
Well, that's the question. When you go to the Met, it is very high culture, high brow, and punk was the exact opposite. But it was influential. You know, Andy Warhol, when he was starting out, wasn't, you know, the pop icon that he became. So punk became a pop icon, just not at the beginning. The Met knows what it's doing to attract an audience, but I don't think they're going about it the right way. It's not a painting. It's this breathing, living artifact.
What would you have preferred in terms of focusing on where you think the aesthetic core of punk might be?
Well, their claims that authenticity and DIY is where I have a major issue. The exhibition is beautiful, and the images and the soundscaping, it's very dynamic. But they claim that they are producing this beginning-to-end timeline, and all I'm seeing is couture that's from, you know, the mid-90s onward being the focus. So a little bit more on the, if I could see a leather jacket that was authentically worn, like at CBGB's, that would be so much better than seeing the gown that Liz Hurley wore to the Four Weddings and a Funeral premiere back in 94.
Isn't this as much about the historical lens that punk is distorted through in Hollywood and fashion as much as it is about what happened in the 70s and 80s, though?
Definitely, because you have to talk about the evolution. Vivienne Westwood, for example, started the punk aesthetic. She was the designer that started it all, and now she's this very popular designer that's at the cutting edge, but she's also going to be designing flight attendant uniforms. So punk evolves, and I think this exhibit kind of showcases it, but it doesn't start at the root.
Flight attendant couture coming to a Metropolitan Museum of Art near you.
Exactly.
Who knows? Fashion writer Kelly Maxwell from Bust Magazine, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Got a couple more high-fashion bikes for you here. A listener in Oregon wrote us, I collect and upgrade to very high-level Klein bicycles. Klein bicycle frames were designed by an MIT grad, Gary Klein, were very state-of-the-art. The paintwork is extraordinary. Klein bikes pioneered many innovations still in use today. The Klein pictured weighs just over 15 pounds with pedals and clincher tires. And from South Carolina, a little different, I had a Dukes of Hazzard bike when I was 7, and my grandmother bought it for me at a yard sale. It was a little rusty, but I thought it was great. Of course it was. Your favorite bike memories, call us at 877-8MYTAKE.